called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Mark 7-13. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This passage is something that's often used by the church to talk about mission. The church says this is something that we need to do. And it is something we need to do. In case we've forgotten, this is part of the Great Commission. In our understanding or desire, we often run the risk of forgetting the attitude with which we are supposed to go. We forget how we are able to do this. I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament lesson for today, who do you identify with, Ezekiel or the people he sent to? Most people think that they're like Ezekiel, standing in the gap. But if you were to look at commentaries, you would see that we cannot claim that. We cannot claim to be the prophet standing in the gap, but our place is firmly rooted in the camp of the transgressors, the stiff-necked people. It's a device in the Bible. When that happens, it says, pay attention. I'm about to tell you something really important. It's hard to hear, isn't it? Still, not a bad place to start. And in fact, if we are to proclaim the good news to the lost and hurting world, that is a place we must start. Paul himself comes to this same understanding. In the passage from 2 Corinthians, we hear about the thorn in Paul's side. Now, we'll never be sure what this really is, at least this side of heaven. And it doesn't really matter. The fact is, he had it. The important thing is the effect it had on him. The thorn was something that humbled him, that weakened him. Paul's own words, "Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.' So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." It is through our weakness that we are humbled, and oftentimes we're even brought low. But in these moments, we're vulnerable and capable of being filled with something else, something outside ourselves. Through the emptying of ourselves, we are then able to be filled. We become servants not on our own terms, but on the terms of the one we worship and adore. We are united to our King. Now stop and think about the gospel today, especially the sending out of the 12. Notice the words, "He gave them authority, and he sent them in pairs." One of my seminary professors, Father Pei, who's now the present dean of Neshota, has a very favored saying. And it goes like this: "You cannot give what you do not have." So, surprise, this passage is not simply about what we are to do. This reading speaks to the kingship of Christ himself. He is able to give authority to cast out demons and to heal because he has it from his Father. In a similar manner, the apostles are able to receive the power not because they are good people, not because they are more intelligent than others, not even because they're holier than other people. They were, however, willing to empty themselves, to be filled with the power of Christ, and to go into the world and preach the good news. They were sent two by two for a number of reasons. Remember this: wherever two or more are gathered, I shall be there. Can you understand the implications of why they went two by two? They prayed for one another. They encouraged one another. They leaned on one another in their weakness. The final point I will make is that everyone has been focusing lately on the part of this passage that says, if they don't listen, shake the dust from your feet and move on. This somehow translates to, if they don't believe what you believe, they are not good enough, so you should just walk away. Look at all the fights on Facebook in the last week in light of the General Convention and the Supreme Court decision. People are so concerned with being agreed with that words are twisted so that there must be winners and there must be losers. And we have missed the mark. We have traded convictions for the gospel message. We have made it about us because we insist on seeing ourselves as a type of Ezekiel and boast about how much better we are instead of seeing our weakness and allowing ourselves to be filled with the power of Christ. A better understanding of this gospel passage would be that even though they had to walk away, the gospel was still preached. It's not about winning or losing. It's about the good news and our willingness to proclaim it in the situations we find ourselves in. Be willing to be seen as weak so that you can truly say, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Only then will you hear the command, go. Until then, we are just the people the prophet is sent to. Amen.